Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Today we're doing a book study on A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose, written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope that you have your copy so that you can follow along with us. Today we are in Chapter 2, Section 9, Ego, the Current State of Humanity, Identification with the Body. My name is Barbara Wainwright and I'm here with Gilda Simonet. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you.
Ego, the current state of humanity, identification with the body. Apart from objects, another basic form of identification is with my body. Firstly, the body is male or female, and so the sense of being a man or woman takes up a significant part of most people's sense of self. Gender becomes identity. Identification with gender is encouraged at an early age, and it forces you into a role, into conditioned patterns of behavior that affects all aspects of your life, not just sexuality. It is a role many people become completely trapped in, even more so in some of the traditional societies than in Western culture, where identification with gender is beginning to lessen somewhat. In some traditional cultures, the worst fate a woman can have is to be unwed or barren, and for a man to lack sexual potency and not be able to produce children. Life's fulfillment is perceived to be fulfillment of one's gender identity.
In the West, it is the physical appearance of the body that contributes greatly to the sense of who you think you are. Its strength or weakness, its perceived beauty or ugliness relative to others. For many people, their sense of self-worth is intimately bound up with their physical strength, good looks, fitness, and external appearance. Many feel a diminished sense of self-worth because they perceive their body as ugly or imperfect.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder is an expression that I've heard, meaning that if you look at a flower, if some people will think that flower is ugly and some people will think the flower is beautiful. It's such a shame when you meet someone and their beauty is shining through and they don't see it. You can tell by the way they hold themselves, that they are ashamed of the way they look, or they're ashamed about something else having to do with their body. And it's kind of heartbreaking because they're beautiful, and the beauty that shines through, that comes from within, it's palpable. So it's a disheartening, I guess is a good word. It's disheartening when somebody thinks that they aren't beautiful, when there's another expression I'm thinking of, which is God doesn't make junk. Let your light shine. In some cases, the mental image or concept of my body is a complete distortion of reality. A young woman may think of herself as overweight and therefore starve herself when in fact she is quite thin. She cannot see her body anymore. All she sees is the mental concept of her body, which says, I'm fat, or I will become fat. At the root of this condition lies identification with the mind. As people have become more and more mind-identified, which is the intensification of ego dysfunction, there has also been a dramatic increase in the incidence of anorexia in recent decades. If the sufferer could look at her body without the interfering judgments of her mind, or even recognize those judgments for what they are instead of believing in them, or better still, if she could feel her body from within, this would initiate her healing.
Those who are identified with their good looks, physical strength, or abilities experience suffering when those attributes begin to fade and disappear, as of course they will, their very identity that was based on them is then threatened with collapse. In either case, ugly or beautiful, people derive a significant part of their identity, be it negative or positive, from their body. To be more precise, they derive their identity from the I thought that they erroneously attach to the mental image or concept of their body, which, after all, is no more than a physical form that shares the destiny of all forms, impermanence, and ultimately decay.
Well, it's true that nothing lasts forever, and certainly what I guess Western women would consider beautiful, it does fade. And it's unfortunate that there's so much value placed on what somebody looks like. And just like he was talking about with the anorexia or bulimic situation, right? People trying to look better because in their mind, they don't measure up.
It's just sad because there are some people out there that are made to feel like they're ugly or that they're fat.
Right.
And instead of seeing that maybe that's not true, they kind of go into agreement with those that feed them that negativity.
Yeah. Well, I know that grammar school and high school and middle school in the United States anyway, the kids can be so brutal, and it's so hard being a parent of a child that has kids that are bullying your kid. Even and then when the kids start bullying themselves, that's when they go to the bulimic or anorexia or cutting. Kids cut themselves today. This is a really tough subject as far as I'm concerned. And it's sad that people don't love themselves just as they are. And it doesn't matter if someone else has a certain opinion of you because what they think shouldn't matter to you. I wish that people had more compassion so that bullying didn't occur. And I think the only way that we're going to get beyond that is a complete awakening of every person on the planet. You know, you think about it, where does it start? Probably starts in the home with the parents not being awakened and bullying the kids. And then the kids turn around and go to school and see someone smaller than them. And they start bullying that kid, taking out their anger and frustration that they can't take out at home because their parents are bigger than them or will put them on major restriction or something else. So they turn around and they start picking on kids at school because they got picked on at home.
Right. It just reminds me of, I guess, myself growing up. You know, there were times growing up where I was made to feel like I was super ugly. But then there were times in my life where I was made to feel like I was beautiful. And I think growing up with that battle of, oh, like, am I ugly or am I beautiful? Like, it kind of creates like a resistance within you. But then when you start to like look inside, it kind of, I don't know, you start to see like the beauty that you have. And it didn't matter if people even thought I was like beautiful or ugly, because it's, I started to find myself beautiful, not even just like in a physical way, just more internally, which I guess brought out the physical.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if that sounds conceited to say.
I don't think so. It's not to me. And here's the difference between somebody who is conceited, that's ego, right? But what you're doing is you're having an awakening to who you are from an esoteric point of view, as opposed to a physical point of view. I think that if we could all go within like you did and recognize that we're perfect just as we are, that we don't need to change anything. But at the same time, we're free to change something if we want to, right? If we recognize that we're perfect just as we are, and maybe we go, wait a minute, you know what? I'd probably feel a little lighter if I lost a little weight. I would be able to do more things. I could walk easier. I'd have more energy. Well, then by all means, you have the capability to do what's necessary to lose some weight so that you can have more energy. The trick is not to tie it in with your ego, where you identify as a person who has something wrong with themselves. And now, because I have this thing that's wrong with me, my self-esteem is going in the toilet. All of that, though, is ego.
That's so true.
All right.
A lot of it was probably just fed to you from other people.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Don't listen to other people if they are giving you an opinion of yourself, unless, I'll say unless, there are safe people in this world that you could approach and say, hey, I've been thinking about losing a little weight. What are your thoughts about that? And hopefully they'll be honest with you and say, you know, either, you know what, that's a great idea. You'll probably feel a lot better if you do that. Or they would say, you know what, you really don't need to lose any weight. Why are you feeling like that? What's going on with you? Right. So I think those are safe people. There are safe people in the world that you can approach. And then there are toxic people, unfortunately, that have not awakened, that are all wrapped up in their ego. And they might be very cruel in their response. So I think a lot of it has to do with selecting or choosing the right people, surrounding yourself with the right people, people that are awakened, people that are not judgmental. And you can listen for that when people talk. You can hear people be judgmental or not. And if you hear someone being judgmental, that's a really good indication that they're not awakened yet, and they're probably not a safe person to share your intimate details with.
That's so true. And I think sometimes just practicing discernment.
Yes, discernment is huge. Is this person a person that I can safely share with? And is this a good time to share what's going on with me, right? If someone's in a bad place themselves, then you know what? Maybe they don't need to hear what you have going on in your head. You know?
Yeah, because you're not really going to get what you need from them.
Yes, yes. So discernment is huge in knowing, you know, when is the right time and who is the right person to have a conversation with. Better still is to go inside and talk to your own higher power and ask inside, what's my next best step? What do I need? And listen for an answer. And there's so many ways to do that. Maybe one day we can talk about that in a podcast, but there's a lot of different ways that you can connect with your higher power and get the answers that you need. And that is a safe place as long as you're not tapping into the egoic mind when you go and ask those questions. Equating the physical sense-perceived body that is destined to grow old, wither, and die with I always leads to suffering sooner or later. To refrain from identifying with the body doesn't mean that you neglect, despise, or no longer care for it. If it is strong, beautiful, or vigorous, you can enjoy and appreciate those attributes while they last. You can also improve the body's condition through right nutrition and exercise. If you don't equate the body with who you are, when beauty fades, vigor diminishes, or the body becomes incapacitated, this will not affect your sense of worth or identity in any way. In fact, as the body begins to weaken, the formless dimension, the light of consciousness, can shine more easily through the fading form. I love that because I see people who are absolutely gorgeous that are older people, but the light that is emanating through them is breathtaking. Their beauty comes from within. And it's not external beauty, it's an inner beauty that shines out so brightly that you want to know them. You want to go and shake their hand or give them a hug and say, "Hello, who are you? I'm so honored to meet you and have a moment to spend with you."
No, that's so true. Every time I come across people like that, I always just want to stand right next to them, like automatically, like a magnet.
Yes, yes. I remember when I first met a woman, her name is Halise Sparky Bridges. She created, probably 40 years ago now, a blue ribbon that says, "Who I am makes a difference." And she honors people with that ribbon and shares with them something that they did that was honorable. And then she pins the ribbon on their chest over their heart, saying, "Who you are makes a difference. And may all your dreams come true." And this woman, who's been doing this for 40 years, has so much light emanating from her. When I first met her, she was sitting on a couch, and I said, I don't know, I didn't know who it was. I just said, "I just want to give you a hug. Can I give you a hug? Do you hug?" And she said yes, and she stood up and we hugged and we became very dear friends. And she's one of the ones that the light just shines right through, so much so that exactly what you said, you just want to, you're drawn in. It's like a moth to the flame. You're drawn into the light.
Yeah, I love that. She's so special that she just makes you feel so special. Like,
yes.
So much love. I love it.
Yes, yes. So wonderful. So I'd venture to say that someone like that is definitely a safe person to talk to.
It is not just people with good or near perfect bodies who are likely to equate it with who they are. You can just as easily identify with a problematic body and make the body's imperfection, illness, or disability into your identity. You may then think and speak of yourself as a sufferer, or this or that chronic illness or disability. You receive a great deal of attention from doctors and others who constantly confirm to you your conceptual identity as a sufferer or a patient. You then unconsciously cling to the illness because it has become the most important part of who you perceive yourself to be. It has become another thought form with which the ego can identify. Once the ego has found an identity, it does not want to let go. Amazingly, but not infrequently, the ego, in search of a stronger identity, can and does create illnesses in order to strengthen itself through them.
That's a scary thought right there. That the ego creates illnesses.
It kind of feels like you speak things into existence. If you're sitting there always complaining and whining about stuff, and your ego's like, yeah, you know, this, that, and the other. Sometimes I find that you start to attract that kind of stuff into your life. And that strengthens your ego, because then your ego's like, see, I told you. Without realizing that maybe you attracted it in the first place.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Our minds are very powerful, and knowing that, it's a good thing to remain positive in our outlook about our bodies, our spirits, our souls, our whole life situation. Be positive about it. That doesn't mean that you can't change it. You can still change it. If something doesn't feel right to you, ask your higher self, what is the next best step for me? And then follow through. It might be a baby step. The reason why our higher power gives us baby steps is because if they shared the entire picture with us, it might frighten us into staying right where we are.
It's so true.
So check in with your higher power, ask what your next best step is, and take that step. On the other hand, if you're really happy with where you're at, be grateful. for everything in your life.
Even if you're not happy with where you're at, I think it's still important to always be grateful, even if it is the breath that you're taking, or the steps that you're walking, or the words that you're speaking, or the, you know, just everything.
Yes, exactly. You're still here. You're still breathing. There's a lot to be grateful for in that alone. Well, that's the end of this session. I hope you found some value here, and I look forward to seeing you all in our next session. Bye for now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to WainwrightGlobal.com/go/support.